Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Today, we are talking to Jenny. You may have heard us mention Jenny in previous episodes. She is the psychic that we all went to see together for the first time a few years ago now. AP, since you are the one who introduced us to Jenny in the first place, maybe you can kind of fill our listeners in with a little bit more about Jenny.
Yeah, so I actually met Jenny, or heard about her, first of all, back in 2017 through some friends that I met through having Briggs and subsequently the other dogs that we have. First went to her in December of 2017, which was just a couple weeks, less than a month after we lost Boone, our Gordon Setter. And I went with my dad. We both had separate sessions. And when she was opening with me, and, you know, when she sits there and asks you for your permission and connects to your energies, she had to stop and say, man, there's just dogs. And one keeps running in and running out and sitting down next to you and then being like, oh, I got to go. And then runs in. And she's like, she's described him as black. Or is he brown? Or is he black? Is he both colors? Well, Boone was a Gordon Setter, which is black and tan. And that dog did not know how to sit still if his life depended on it. Like, this is a dog who we would put a gate up in our downstairs, like a baby gate. And I swear to God, he literally flipped us off one day when he was going over it. Like, he would sit there and he would spin once, spin twice. And you're like, Boone, don't you do it. And he'd puff his cheeks out and go woo, 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 at you. And he'd spun around again. And was like, woo, and he ran upstairs to eat butter.
This is also the dog. We all do.
Yeah, he was a 50-pound dog, but he could reach to the far back corner of a countertop to get butter or Butterfinger. But she did tell me that he was coming back to me at some point, or coming back to us. And I'm pretty positive that Kiri has some of his old soul, because when she was a puppy, like 3 months old, I looked into her eyes and they were just so deep. Mm-hmm. And like, you've been here before. Mm-hmm. She also knew where all of his hidey holes were in the yard that none of the other dogs went into.
That's so sweet.
And then brought you all along because, well, when Megan and I first met in January of 2020, I told her about Jenny and she'd never went. Every time after that, we talked and it's like, I still haven't contacted her yet.
She's in my phone.
Yep. She's in my phone. So then when all of us were kind of like, everybody was kind of hemming and hawing and like, I want to, but I don't know. So it's like, well, what if we just go as a group? Maybe it's a little bit easier to ease into it. And so we did it as a group, the three of us, plus another friend of mine that I worked with that you guys know now, and my sister. So anytime I bring somebody along or introduce somebody to Jenny or schedule, if somebody says, hey, will you schedule something with me? Mm-hmm. I'll ask, do you want individual or do you want to go together? Do you want a half hour or an hour? And I will literally email Jenny and say, myself and one other person. Mm-hmm. I never tell her who's coming with me. Mm-hmm. So she's not
Googling you all day, yeah. Greg.
So, Greg. I mean, the only time was when it was like my aunts and my sister and my cousins and my mom last year. I was like, it's a family reading. So, But yeah, so Jenny is a renowned medium and psychic consultant, spiritual coach, life coach, business consultant, Reiki master and healer, EFT, TFT, certified practitioner, hypnotherapist, and hypnosis teacher. She's a lot. She's got a lot of things going on. And I mean, for anything, what I always tell people too, she's just somebody that you feel like you can connect with and talk to with no judgments on your life. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I recently know a friend of mine who has been going through a lot. She went to Jenny over the weekend. And so she just said, she connected with who I needed her to connect with.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So content warning for everybody. We have no idea what we're going to talk about. It comes around. I know I have a question based on fears because that's something we've talked about. And that's something that I know we've had a few patrons ask or mention about, of having some significant fears. So I do have that as a question. And as always, just check the show notes because Amy does a great job putting all that in. So Amy,
be sure to do that.
Any housekeeping?
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to talk about is for everybody to go onto our Patreon and look for the post that is a poll that we are asking people what they would like to see in the next season, because we are wrapping up this season and we're going to meet next week and talk about how we're going to go forward with this. So we want to see what you guys think. You think we should keep doing Dead Files stuff? Should we keep interviewing people? Should we do all of it? Should we pick a different show? Should we anything? Maybe not listener stories, because we don't have a lot of those. And even though we've been begging,
we would haven't received a single one.
Yeah. I would love to do that. But it doesn't seem like people have a lot, or they don't want to share.
Which is fine.
We'll find something else to do. We can always talk. I mean, that's not a problem. It looks like Jenny's here. So awesome. I think we should bring her in.
Sounds good.
Yay.
Yay.
You're hi, beneath Jenny.
Hi,
side.
Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good. How are you
doing?
Good.
Well, thank you for joining us. We've been talking about you on our show for
forever.
A year now.
Yes.
Year and a half, maybe.
Thank you.
And so glad we could finally get you on to talk. Yes. Amy, we call Amy that you know more than you know this Amy.
I'm AP.
She's AP on our show just because I'm already Amy, and to not confuse the two of us. But anyway, she did a little intro for you before you came on talked about how she found out about you and how she's been seeing you for a bunch of different times, and how she brought Megan and I in with you once and twice, actually.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been through all of that. But yeah, we just want to talk about like what you do and how you started. And I know Amy AP has a couple of specific questions for you too. Mm-hmm. But if you want to just tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got started, and what's your jam? What's your thing?
You know, people will look at my business card and they're like, couldn't you choose one thing? Absolutely not.
She just read all of them and we were like, that's a lot.
We had to take a break. She had read some
things.
I went to get dinner. I'm like, I got a break for this.
Well, it was over a couple of decades when I started to embark on my journey. And there wasn't a lot out there. So not to age myself, I was like 2 years old at that point. Just kidding. You know what was really for the self-care, self-development is something I've always been drawn to. And back in that time, we didn't have the internet like we do now, which gives us so much beautiful information. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like they have the new age section in the bookstore about this big, and it just slowly got bigger and bigger, more into the metaphysical side. So I would just, you know, I was just like this sponge grabbing whatever I could. I was just drawn to things. And, you know, I have this free spirit energy. So I would buy a lot of books, but I would never read them from start to finish. I just picked them up and,
you know, that's me.
Read some piece. It was almost like getting downloads just from that process. And so I love to tell people, if you're drawn to something, go for it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean, especially for free spirits, it's not from start to finish. And, you know, I know our society doesn't foster that free spirit energy. AP, you got that.
Yep.
You know, just by processing something, we can have that experience. You know, like I'll stay up Googling something and then a couple of days later, I'm like, done. You know, it just really kind of taps into our Akash. And our Akash holds our past life energies. And, you know, much like each of you, I'm an old soul, so we've had countless lifetimes. And so, you know, when I embarked on this, I was just trying to get so much information, and I can be so analytical and stuck in my head. And
are you an AP the same
this
person?
Is why we connect really well.
I can empathize with that. Boy, I was trying to just learn, because I loved learning about it, and I'd always been drawn to it. And ironically enough, I went to a Catholic school, so it was definitely taboo.
Who didn't go to a Catholic school in this group? I went to one.
And I was really introverted and shy, which is really kind of surprising, you know, given what I do now. Mm-hmm. But in religion class, things would just come out of my mouth. And, you know, to the point where I got a lot of detention. And the religion teacher you know, pulled me aside and said, you got to stop saying this. You're getting everybody worked up. You know, I'm like, babies don't come in with this original sin, and God's not judgmental the way you say. And, you know, and it would just come out. And, you know, he's like, well, they tell us what we have to teach. You have some good points, but you got to stop. I'm like, well, good luck.
Good luck and Godspeed, because that's not happening.
And, you know, I took the city bus in high school, and strangers would just come up to me and talk. And I remember this older gentleman, he's 60s, late 60s, early 70s. I don't even know what I told him. And he got tears in his eyes. And he's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just thought of it. Well, when I embarked on my journey, even with the limited information, I discovered, boy, I didn't give out all that great advice to these strangers or to my friends, that, you know, it really opened my awareness that I had been channeling my whole life. And, you know, being that empath and that clairsentience, that sixth sense of feeling, and that ability to read someone and to read a situation, I just thought I was super smart, you know.
Well, that too. It's not either or. I feel like you can be both.
Yeah, I'll take it all. Yeah. You know, and I got together with some like-minded people, and there weren't a lot of groups out there. I had some great mentors, and one of my mentors said, you know, I set up some appointments at this metaphysical shop, and I'm like, I can't do that. You know, and my friends in my group were like, you got to get out there and do it. And, you know, I had a mainstream job and very polar opposite, you know, very executive. And so it was more of a hobby and a passion. If anybody would have told me back then that I would be doing this today, I probably would have screwed it up first and foremost. You know, I remember, and I loved getting readings, and I remember this reader that I absolutely loved. He had told me, I see you doing meditations, and I see you doing meditation classes with people. And I said to my friend after, and I go, God, I love him, but man, he is off, because there's no way I'm going to do meditations, because I'm so logical. And what I had to do is get out of my own way. And, you know, I would read, again, limited stuff out there. I would read a book, and this is, you know, psychic development. And I would try to do it the way the author said. And I had a different style than that author. And so that really nudged me to start doing more classes to help people foster how they channel and their gifts and abilities, because everyone has a different style. And, you know, it just evolved from there, a lot of synchronicities. And I feel really blessed and fortunate to do what I'm doing and have that opportunity and to connect with so many beautiful people like yourselves. And, you know, one thing that I put out there when I stepped into this is I want those that are opening up to their gifts and abilities. I want to connect with healers. And I would say it's not my entire clientele base, but it's a good chunk of that. And all the people that are awakening right now is absolutely beautiful. And so when I first stepped into it, you know, it was really that woo, and, you know, some people thought I was an occult, and
yeah,
you know, and I used discernment and who, you know, who I shared it with. Fortunately, my family, for the most part, was really supportive. You know, certainly I have three boys, and they have always been supportive of it, making fun of mom sometimes, even, you know, when I tell them, like, oh, manifest this, or I manifested this, you know, but they, you know, they believe it, but they don't do the same thing I do.
So you mentioned, like, people are going through an awakening. How would somebody know that they're going through an awakening? Is that something they can be cognizant of? Is it subtle? Like, what does that look like?
You know, it's really different for everyone. Some, you know, unfortunately for some, it's almost like their world comes crashing down around them. And it's like, you know, if you heard the saying, the dark night of the soul. And sometimes it's like your world is, you know, kind of rocked, if you will. And again, things come crumbling down, and it's like, okay, I have to pick myself up and Where do I want to be? And that's probably the biggest question. Who am I and where do I want to be? For others, it can be a slow, gentle process, more of that excitement, you know, and I would say mine was definitely a process of awakening. And I would develop more gifts or more awareness of my gifts. And, you know, past lives started coming in and the universal channeling. So it wasn't like everything was all there at once for me. And that's what I see for people within their awakening, is that they'll start to recognize, like, maybe I have something here. Or I would say the biggest thing is people start questioning things, questioning themselves. Again, who am I? And this just does not align with me. But it takes a while for people, because you're caught up in your life, you know, to start stepping back and like, yeah, there's something more out there. And, you know, there are different phases to the awakening process. And, you know, some people have three phases, some have 5, 7, 9, 11. They're all the same. It's just how it's broken up. I go with the 5 because numbers hold energy and 5 is all about change. And the first couple of phases of the awakening can be difficult, you know, because you're really questioning yourself, your beliefs, what you have been conditioned with, what our society is conditioning with us, you know, for us and to us, what religious organizations, even our, you know, our family values and you know, in terms of with our parents, like they taught us what they know. And what I see now is people really questioning that. And we have so many free spirits that have come in, you know, that younger generation. And I'm going to say your generation for a couple of you, which I love, because it is those free spirits that are shifting paradigms. And, you know, we are seeing it's not working the way we have it, the way we've been doing it. And we're in the midst of a shift right now, a collective shift. And it's a 36-year cycle. It started with a precession of the equinoxes. And we're 30 years into it, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
6 years left for this phase. And, you know, we're moving to a higher consciousness, a higher frequency collectively, a more compassionate place, definitely growing pains along the way. And it's tough to see that. But people and things that lack integrity, those old paradigms, you know, the greed and the negativity, all of that is coming to the surface. And I know people are like, you know, we're going downhill. And we're not. We're actually shifting again to a higher frequency, a higher vibration. But I liken it to, you know, you go into a dark room, you turn on the lights, and you see all the cobwebs, all the dust. Well, that has been there. We just haven't gone into that room. We haven't turned on the lights. And, you know, Spirit loves communicating in metaphors, and using the metaphor of dark versus light, the light's winning, but it's hard to see that. You know, we have a duality within us, but collectively there's that duality. And if you think about it, when you have light, darkness can't exist. And so that's the direction that we're moving. And with that energy, that prompts this awakening for so many people. And I love it. And I love the fact that people question it. I love the fact that people are embracing their gifts, their abilities, their power. And that's not an ego, that's a part and soul. And, you know, empowerment is a theme for so many people. And, you know, embarking on this awakening process. And this is sometimes without even trying, it really does empower you, because you start to question things, you gather more information, you start to see things from a different perspective. Now, again, in those first couple phases, that can be really uncomfortable. I will liken it to taking those rose-colored glasses off. And you know, you start to recognize what's bringing you joy, what's not. You're pulled in new directions. And not everybody's supportive of that. But you also see people from a different perspective, again, without those rose-colored glasses. And that part can be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And what Spirit says is, even though it's uncomfortable, having that information is empowering. Because ultimately, you get to decide what you want to do with it. And this is a period for those old souls, those healers at Spirit, you know, all-encompassing light workers, you know, all of which all three of you are, that we worked lifetime after lifetime to get to this shift. And we may question, like, can I see the fine print of that contract? You know? Or can I renegotiate it? I've said that plenty of times. But, you know, we chose to be part of this shift. So when you see all these things going on within the world, know that that is, you know, a lot of this has been going on and we're just seeing it so much clearer. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue throughout this shift that, again, things that lack integrity, people that lack integrity, it's coming to the surface. And some of it can be really horrific. And, you know, those healers at Spirit are those that are sensitive, those empaths need to be very, very aware and conscientious not to pull in or sponge all of that energy. And we do that. And, you know, that, and it's so hard when you, you know, when you see something that is horrific and you look at, you know, the sex trafficking, and I mean, pull up any news station, traditional mm-hmm. or not, that, you know, we could feel that energy, and we do that, like, here, let me take that away. You know, we tend to sponge it, and we're not meant to sponge that. We're meant to stay vibrating at that high level. We are light work. We're meant to send that love and healing. And intention is so incredibly powerful. For me, I use green for healing, pink for unconditional love, coming down, projecting out, so that I'm not pulling it in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have that human side where I will read something or hear about something and I'm like, oh my God, disgusting. Whoa, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, I got to send love and healing. And I'm going to provide gratitude that it came to the surface, not that it has been happening, mm-hmm, but that it mm-hmm. came to the surface so that we can change it. And we have the power to change that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now the energy, the collective energy is so tough with, you know, we have wars going on, the godforsaken political environment. And, you know, we're so conditioned. And there's so much out there to really kind of divide people. Mm-hmm. And that's polar opposite of a higher consciousness, you know? But it fosters an element of fear, of anger, of hatred even, and control. And so as people are awakening, they're like, no, this isn't right. This side isn't right. This side isn't right. Or seeing, you know, what is right on both sides, but not approaching things with that anger and hatred. And, you know, I get a lot of questions like, are we going to have World War III? Like, are we going to, you know, have a civil war? I check and recheck that on a continuous basis with my universal channeling. And I get, no, mm-hmm. we've moved past that mark. And we truly have midpoint within this collective shift. And, you know, that gives people that sense of reassurance. But, you know, a good way of looking at that, and I'm going to, like, World War III, when the Ukrainian and Russian war started, and certainly the same would apply to the Middle East, you didn't see all these countries lining up to go fight that war. Now, granted, they support them in different ways, but how countries are approaching it is very different than we've seen in the past. So we are shifting those paradigms. And people are pushing back on that fear-based information that's constantly put out there, that negativity. Mm-hmm. And again, it fosters an element of control with that fear, with that hatred. And those that are awakening are rising above that and looking at it and using discernment in terms of what is the truth? What is it? Mm-hmm. And that's what I encourage everybody to do. And for those empaths, those that are sensitive, your ability to read someone and to read a situation is so incredibly powerful. You know, what feels right to you? What doesn't? And it's not a fear. You know, fear is a state of mind. That feeling of something's off here comes from within. And that's where you can start to use that discernment, like, yeah, there's some mistruths here, or this mm-hmm. person lacks integrity. And, you know, I know this has come up for all three of you at different times, this message that if something or someone feels off to you, use caution and discernment. Don't mm-hmm. let that little voice be like, Amy, Megan, AP, give them a chance. Don't be judgmental. That is, none of you have it within you to be malicious. That is not you being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
That is telling you, hey, again, use caution and discernment. And the flip side could be true. Mm-hmm. Like, this feels right. And we can't always put logic on those messages. And so it is about building that trust and stepping into it. And sometimes, you know, stepping into it is, you know, walking through a door to get us to that next place in time. So it's not like really obvious initially. But I encourage people to use that gift as it is, not to sponge all that, you know, whether it's the collective energy or even an individual. Certainly, you know, if you're standing in line at the gas station and the person in front of you that you don't know is anxious, you're going to start to feel anxious as that empath. And what is their mind like? Okay, what should we worry? Worry is that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why just being mindful of it, being aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel a shift in your energy, in your emotional state of being, or even your mental state of being, and for some empaths, it can be a physical sensation. A very simple question, yet incredibly, incredibly powerful, is asking, is this mine or is this somebody else's? Because when it isn't yours, or what isn't yours, oftentimes will disseminate, if not go away. But it helps you to recognize how much you truly do take on. And yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to stay in my energy. I'm going to use this gift to help guide me. And I'm certainly not out there doing readings on everyone when mm-hmm. I'm out. But I do get a read on someone and on a situation, just as you do. And that is for our guidance. And I use the metaphor, which Spirit has given me. It's like your headlights at night guiding you. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you imagine driving across town at night with no streetlights, no headlights? I mean, that would be a really tough journey mm-hmm. and scary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I also tell people, you have a beautiful entourage on the other side, and they love, love, love helping us. And it is quantum on the other side. Hard for us to imagine that, but they mm-hmm. can be in multiple places. Our loved ones that have passed, angelic beings, can be in multiple places at the same time. So you're not taking them away from anyone. But that is their agreement before we all came here, is that I'm going to help you on the other side. And because we have free choice, you know, we have to put it out there, or we certainly have to allow it. But they are constantly there trying to help us. We miss so many of those beautiful signs. And I tell
men
people,
men are probably going, what are you doing?
I know.
What are you
yeah,
doing? All the We told you not to go that way.
Like, yep. Yeah.
Sure wish Amy would let us help her, you know.
That's stubborn.
I'm sure of it.
But you know, but we get so destination driven, and it's like, I gotta figure this out. And you know, they're like, hey, there's a shortcut this way, or there's something bigger and better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they always remind me, and I can't tell you how many times this comes up in readings, that make those wishes big and small. And the best way to manifest is to put it out there with gratitude as if you have it and imagine it with all your senses. And if you're, you know, us healers are not so great about receiving. So I would encourage you to use that mantra, I allow, and be open to it. And it likely is not going to come the way you think it is going to, whether that's, you know, in terms of health, financial support, relationships. I mean, it's out there for everything. And this is not like a genie in a bottle where we only get three wishes. And when I was a kid, I always said my first wish was for endless wishes. And little did I know, or I probably knew more back then, I guess. And people tend to, like, I don't want to ask for too much. That's that's selfish. No, it's not. That is the agreement.
That goes back to, like, what we've all been told by society is that if you ask for too much, you're being selfish or greedy. And you get nothing. Yep. So we have to, like, get through that mindset that it's okay to allow those things in.
Yeah. I mean, I wish for close parking spots, and I'm like that little kid doing a seat dance. I don't care what's in the car next to me. I mean, I have fun with it, but I also put out there those really big things. And sometimes I would get this nudge, like, I know there's something out there, and I don't know what to even ask for. And so putting out there, show me what I don't know that's going to help me. And I allow it. It comes so quickly and in some of the most profound or strange ways. But it, when you ask for it too, or put it out there, and certainly with gratitude, you know, it opens our awareness to, like, okay, I'm expecting it, and do expect it. And when you put something out there with gratitude, you know, when I'm doing a reading, I'm reading somebody's field. We all have a field around us. And within that field is, you know, the propensity, the possibilities of what's to come. And and I do tell, you know, I do tell individuals that I'm doing a reading for, that whether it's me doing the reading or somebody else, this is about possibilities and probabilities. It never replaces our gift of free choice. But when you put something out there with gratitude, as if you have it, your field is responding to whatever you're putting out there. And so there is something to be said about those positive affirmations, and the field responds like, oh my God, Megan has to have this. She should have this. You know, we better get going on it. So the response is very different from our field. And, you know, again, we're human. And there are times where, you know, we put out there something negative, or we feel that way, or thoughts are that way. Being mindful, you know, like, I'll be like, I'm going to be late. And then I'm like, okay, and I repeat it three times. I'm going to get there safe and secure. I'm going to get there safe and secure. I'm going to get there safe and secure. You know, just shift this. And I like doing things in threes. Shift that script. But mindfulness is a huge part of that. And there's simple ways of doing it to very complicated ways to tap into that mindfulness. And that's not analyzing. You know, it's not different for those of us that like to analyze, but it is really opening your awareness. And with that, you start to see more choices. And when individuals have choices, we may not always like them all, but when we have choices, that in of itself is so incredibly empowering. You know, for each of you, I would say this absolutely applies. You know, you all vibrate at a high level. And just like you don't have it within you to be malicious, you don't have it within you to be egotistical. And let yourself vibrate at that high level. It is not you putting yourself on a pedestal, but you see things from a much broader perspective. And each of you, to different degrees and in different ways, And certainly, you know, this podcast is a testament to that. You're here to help others to become empowered, to give them tools, to give them information, a different perspective. And if they choose, that too can be empowering for them. So empowerment is, you know, absolutely one of your many life purposes for each of you. But it is also to foster that empowerment with other people. And what a great gift each of you have. And what a great gift that you're doing by doing this podcast. And you bring humor into it. And, you know, you may not agree on everything. You may approach things differently. Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of it. Because mm-hmm. there's not, it's not a one size fits all.
Yeah.
And there's not only one way to do something. And that is part of our conditioning, that this is how you should do it. You know, those poor free spirits that are in school right now, they have such a difficult time because, you know, there is this curriculum that needs to be followed. And that doesn't, that one size does not fit all.
No, it does not.
We're seeing that with our kids, with our teens, our young adults, even adults, for mm-hmm. those of us that, you know, have ventured through that, and we can make it really difficult because free spirits don't want to be told this is how you have to do it. They want choices, or tell them where they need to be. They're going to figure out how to get there. Mm-hmm. But when you're getting those mixed messages, you know, from society, from the educational system, from religious organizations, sometimes even from family. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting there like, what's wrong with me? Nothing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're far more gifted than those that are just tunnel vision. You know, right. This is how it's going to be done. Yeah. And there's not a criticism because, I mean, we have those type A and their souls has this checklist, like, here's what we're going to do. And that's their life path and their journey. And as long as individuals stay true to them and they speak their truth, you know, and we think of that just through communication, but speaking your truth is through following your purposes and passions mm-hmm. and staying true to you and aligning with your authentic self.
I love all of that. And mm-hmm. Jenny, as you've been talking, and I've been like, check, that's, you know, like talking about the journey and to awakening and stuff, like my world came crashing down when I was leaving teaching. And then, you know, it's been a long, slow process, but changing from a negative mindset to a positive mindset into all of these different things, like randomly spewing out like helpful information to people that I have no business knowing, like, where did that come from kind of thing. These two know that because they're usually recipients of it at some point in time, whether they want it or not.
We always do.
I call that diarrhea of the mouth.
Yes.
You know, it happens. And I'll see the spirit, you know, you could have forewarned me.
Yeah. All of a sudden you just get into this groove and you're just like, well, this means this and this and this. And it's this, but it's connected here. And, it, you know, it's like that picture. Where is it? Keira Sedgwick, who's like staring at the mm-hmm. you like know, the math things
all the
moving.
Equations are running around her head. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know, Jenny, I do have a very little bit different kind of question for you, because this is something that has come up in conversations between the three of us on the show. We've had a few patrons talk to us about this, and it's something that I know you and I have talked a little bit about past lives previously, and we've talked about fears, and somehow, you know, sometimes we have irrational fears of something. And just curious if there is something in our past lives that could affect those irrational fears from, you know, from what you've encountered or come across. I'm setting you up on a tough question.
Yeah, I love that question. And people are much more open to past lives. You know, when you look at the percentage that now believe in it, that mm-hmm. has shifted, you know, and grown so much. You know, certainly when I first stepped into this. But, mm-hmm. you know, our past lives are within our Akash, and our Akash is within our DNA. It's not just DNA, it's layer 8, actually. And so we hold the past life energies. And if you think about, I'm going to use the metaphor because that's how spirit explains it, but we all get the visual. If you think about a bowl of vegetable soup, you know, whether someone's doing a regression, a meditation, they dream about a past life, or they get a reading about a past life. It's like picking out a bean, you know, a carrot. Mm-hmm. But those energies are all mixed together. And especially when, you know, for our more recent past lives, we do have that tendency to bring that trauma, or it could be drama as well, mm-hmm. with us. And, you know, the most obvious is when somebody has this irrational fear or a phobia. And a phobia mm-hmm. is very different than, okay, some people could be afraid of spiders, or, you know, I don't like closed spaces. But when somebody has a phobia, it is just coming so deep within. I mean, it is beyond mm-hmm. a fear, that a state of mind. Mm-hmm. That oftentimes that is going to be tied to a past life. I had a client that was always afraid of the river, being in mm-hmm. water. And we did a past life reading, and she drowned trying to cross a river in a past life with her child. Mm-hmm. And when she heard that, even though that's really sad, it does help us to release that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't keep replaying that same. It's not mm-hmm. like Groundhog Day, you know, where it's yeah. the same thing over and over. We don't keep reliving those lives. And by her hearing that, it helped her to release that. Mm-hmm. Nice. And then she finally got to enjoy being on the river, because her dad had, you know, this huge boat. And so by tapping into those past lives, we can release the trauma, the drama. Mm-hmm. Another mm-hmm. one that is very, you know, less obvious, but, you know, so many people have this fear of scarcity. You know, mm-hmm. even if they're doing okay financially, what if I lose it? Mm-hmm. But the financial side, and certainly with where we're at, is a struggle for many. Now, many of us, our most recent past life was during the Depression and, you know, World War II. And so regardless of how well you did in that lifetime, so many people lost everything. So that mm-hmm. is something that, you know, we bring in to this lifetime. And so I encourage people, you know, if you can get and you don't have to do a reading, you don't have to do a past life regression, do a meditation on it. Ask to release things in your dreams. Mm-hmm. Dreams are very healing. Mm-hmm. I like to tell Archangel Raphael, who is the healer to the healers, like, come clean out my closet. Don't wake me up, you know, don't wake me up.
It's so crazy because one of our patrons, Zoe, is a medium. And so she and I did a couple readings. And so one of my past lives, I drowned. The village that I was in, like, the dam broke. And so I drowned before I could get out. And like, I have this irrational fear of drowning to the point where I like will frequently think, like, if I ever find out that I'm going to drown, like, I would kill myself first. Like, I would try to kill myself a different way than drowning. Like, ridiculous. No, like, there's no need for that thought. But she mentioned that. And she also said, do you remember you saw a little girl next to me in one of our readings? And you said that I'm not having another child. She was my daughter from a past life. Her name was Rosie. And she had died. She had drowned, I believe, as well. And so she hangs out with me. And I think my son sees her too, because he'll point at her sometimes. But so Zoe, our medium friend, saw her too. And she had not listened to our recording, you know, when we talked about you. And so she had said that she saw a little girl with brown hair too.
And we were all like, you're having another kid.
I was like,
Jenny,
you better not.
And Zoe said it.
So found out that she was from another life. And my current son was another. I had him before in a previous life, and he's got a nut allergy. And she said in a previous life, he had died from a reaction to something as a child.
As a side note, and I'm sorry, I bounce all over.
No.
With that nut allergy, look up NAET, NAET, allergy elimination. I know, well, one of the practitioners passed away, but he had helped a few people overcome that nut allergy. They still don't like nuts, but doing a frequency treatment, and I do those. I do it a little bit different than Nate, but a very similar process where it's really telling your body, like, don't react adversely to this.
Mm-hmm.
The nut allergy, it's a process, but I know somebody else that does that, but super powerful. And just mm-hmm. research that. If you feel a pull, maybe explore it. But, you know, but going back to the past lives, that especially when they're trauma driven, you know, we forget how powerful our intentions are. And again, we have free choice. And I constantly will put out there, and I do this in my energy sessions. I do it in meditations. I'm releasing that trauma and drama from this lifetime and past lifetimes. And I'm not going to replay it. I'm free of that trauma and drama from this lifetime and past lifetimes. And, you know, there's a part of us that energy, again, it's within our Akash, which is in our DNA. And, you know, it circles around. And so keep telling yourself and be very adamant, and you're in charge here, you know, let that goddess out. Like, I'm free of this trauma and drama. And even within this lifetime, because people have had struggles, and it is not unusual, especially those that are embarking on their spiritual journey and helping others, that, you know, you've had trauma within this lifetime, and people will ask, gosh, why did that happen? And it allows you to empathize more with those that you're going to help. It helps you to see things from a very different perspective and have more of a, ideally, compassionate reaction and compassionate actions to individuals that you encounter, to situations that you encounter.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break.
We recently tried Wantable, and I love everything about them. They sent me a box full of stuff, and I think I kept 3 of the items and returned the rest. However, I noticed after I had sealed the bag and scheduled the pickup that I had forgotten to return an item and was so worried that I would be charged for it. I reached out to Wantable, and immediately they sent me a different return label to package up the item that I had forgotten to send. Not only is their stuff top tier, high quality, adorably cute garments, but their customer service is top notch. I 100% will continue using them. I've already purchased and received my second box, and I look forward to many boxes from them.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/wantable. And here's how it works. You pay a $20 styling fee. Whatever you keep, they subtract the styling fee plus another $25. So you basically get $45 off your order. It's a great deal. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style.
And so be very adamant with that, and embed that into your routine. You know, when you're brushing your teeth and you're done and you're smiling and seeing if you got everything, you know, at night or in the morning, I'm releasing all trauma and drama from this lifetime and past. I'm free of all trauma and drama from this lifetime and past. That's like peeling layers of an onion, you know. We get to those very deep layers. And again, we're not always consciously aware of it. If you didn't have that reading, it, you know, then you're beating yourself up like, God, why am I so afraid?
Mm-hmm. Like, I bought one of those window things and a seatbelt cutter in case I go off a bridge and I have to cut myself out of a seatbelt.
That is just good common sense to have one of those in your car, no matter what.
I don't have one of those because
I have one in my glove box too.
I didn't even know they had them. Thank you.
Yeah, they do.
I need to count.
There's a pointy end, and then there's a little knife that you can cut your seatbelt with, and the pointy end to obviously break the window.
Oh, that's what that's for? Mm-hmm. Shoot.
Yep, shoot. I know. It's not to crack nuts, AP. It's for the window.
Really?
Got it. Mm-hmm.
You know, what I have noticed, too, which is really interesting, is if you think about, you know, there really is no element of time in the spiritual realm. And we always think like heaven's up there. It's different dimensions. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just like the creator, the divine God, whatever name you put on, is everywhere. But if you, a good way of thinking about this, again, using a metaphor, you know, those toy train sets that go around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, all of our lifetimes or our time, it just kind of overlaps. And some people may not have a phobia until they hit a certain age. And what that is you're getting to that point in a past life when that happened. A lot of times you can be around the same age. So I was never afraid of heights last mm-hmm. few years. Hate driving over bridges. So it's so funny you said bridges. I mean, I just white knuckle it and mm-hmm. heights, I can leave them, you know, that I never had that before. Kind of this fearless, you know, I've been ziplining, I've been mm-hmm. parasailing. I wouldn't even think of that now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know that I hit an age where I fell off. I know I can see myself in that past life falling off a cliff and I was older. And so sometimes they will just hit you out of the blue, but oftentimes it's going to be around the age that happened. Or again, using mm-hmm. that train track, like, oh, you're overlapping some trauma from a past life or how you passed. And so those irrational fears, do not beat yourself up because it only compounds it, you know? It's that gentleness that I need to release this mm-hmm. trauma. And you know, even if it's trauma that happened within this life that you're aware of, release that as well. You know, we've all watched a bad movie and we don't sit there and keep rewatching it thinking it's going to end better. You know, we're like, God, I wasted 4 hours of my life, you know. I sit there like, God, I knew it wasn't going to get better. Why did I do that?
We were just talking about that.
We were just talking about this.
We were. We're like, it's okay to stop watching a show that's terrible. Or it's okay to stop reading a book that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just those movies, they get me. And I just have that glimmer of hope, even though I know I should follow and trust my intuition. Like, this mm-hmm. just isn't gonna end well. You
also kind of want to watch just to see if you're right. At least I do.
True. A little bit of validation. You know, going back to past lives, and I hope I'm not talking too much here, but
no, good.
This is such a your time to talk.
You know, so we talk about the trauma and drama, but the beautiful part, and this is so incredible in this shift, and the energy really fosters it. And I call it mining your Akash, that go into your past lives. You're old souls. You've had countless past lives, pretty much done it all. Mm-hmm. And you know, bring forward the gifts, the abilities, you know, the characteristics that you want from those past lives. You know, all three of you have this beautiful shamanic energy. You've been shamanas, medicine women, medicine men. Mm-hmm. You've been male and female. You have done healings on people. And, you know, tap into your Akash, and I'm bringing forward my shamanic energy, my healing gifts and abilities. I'm bringing forward my wisdom, Mother Earth, the Gaia energy, and the plants. And, you know, it will come to you. We're not always consciously aware of that. You could be talking to someone after that, and, you know, they could say, geez, my husband's having some heart issues. And it's just going to come out, diarrhea of the mouth, you know. Well, have him take a teaspoon of cinnamon every morning. And cinnamon is good for the heart. You may be like, how do I even know that? You know, you're going to pull forward that wisdom and do that. You know, I love connecting with my fellow witches. And I know we've talked about that. You've been witches, you know. Witches get a bad rap. And, okay, some of us did do black magic. Love it. But I liken witches to, you know, the vast majority of midwives in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Delivering babies and helping women and children, and certainly some men. It did not end well for us, for most of us.
It's because it was usually doing something that was helping until it wasn't helping anymore. And now you have no purpose. So therefore, you must have cursed me.
Yes. And you know, it's safe to come out of that light worker's closet. It's safe to use your gifts and abilities in this lifetime. You're not going to be hung. You're not going to be burned at the stake. You're not going to be beheaded. And embrace your gifts and step through those fears and tell yourself that, you know what? I was hung in a past life. So that's not going to happen again in this lifetime. Because again, we'd all keep repeating it. Mm-hmm. And I paid the price to develop those gifts of that past life. I'm going to use them in this lifetime. And I will say, those babies coming now, they're remembering their past lives. They're bringing forward those gifts. And you know, that is all part of this shift. And, you know, for us old souls, that we have to kind of go mine that Akash. But it is readily there. And Megan, going to your son, he absolutely sees that little girl. And he has been a seer, S-E-E-R, in a past life. So he's a seer.
Yeah, I believe it. Because he keeps saying he sees ghosts. Mommy, there's a ghost. Mommy, say the ghost is here. There's a ghost. And I say, okay, well, just tell him to leave you alone.
Yeah. It's so he definitely sees that. You know, AP, you have lived in the jungle and the animals were your best friends. I mean, we think of like being that medicine woman. We're all, you know, are part of the tribe or an elder. And sometimes we are. But oftentimes, those healers would live distant. And honestly, in that lifetime, you loved animals more than you loved people.
Is that this lifetime?
That's now
I was
too.
Just going to say that sounds...
that one might be repeating. And Amy, you have been that singer, that dancer. So you putting yourself out there in front of people. I mean, that is within your Akash. That is a connection within your soul. And so if you ever get the stage fright, you mind that Akash and like, I'm bringing out that fearlessness when I was a singer and a dancer. And honest to God, Amy, I don't think people should have legs that long. and you have platinum blonde hair, like you, white red lipstick, like you were going at it.
Well, I come from a family
there.
I come from a family of entertainers. That's my dad right there who showed up in the first reading. Actually, he was in both of them when I met with you. But yeah, he was an entertainer, my mom. But I don't think anybody in my ancestors, aside from my parents, were. But that doesn't mean that's not a past life thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we stay within the same, you know, family. And, it, you know, like we could be our great-grandmother. Us old souls, you know, like the best way to describe it, like you have your soul family. And, you know, like it's this circle. If you think about the Olympic rings, you know how they overlap? Well, old souls will tend to go to companion soul families. And so they will incarnate with newer souls, you know, to help our soul growth, but certainly to foster their soul growth. Mm-hmm. And so we don't always stay within, you know, our lineage with, you know, within our bloodline. We will cross over to other soul groups. And that's kind of really where you're at. But I will say mom and dad were part of your primary soul family, not a companion soul family. Sometimes when people cross over to a companion soul family, they really, it's hard for them to feel like they fit in their family. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had a client, we did a soul journey. I could see that she was in a companion soul family. And she's like, when she connected to her primary soul family, she's like, I don't know any of these. And I go, let's go to a companion one. She's like, oh, here. And, you know, she shared after that when she was a little girl, she kept telling her mom, and she loved her mom. I need my real mommy.
Oh, that poor mom.
And she would just laugh about it, you know, and her mom was very, very gifted. And
good.
But that brought so much information to her, and it helped to connect everything. Mm-hmm. She absolutely, her mom was a sweetheart. She loved her mom. She goes, I don't know why I would say that. And so sometimes that can happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that for you, Amy.
The companion family or companion soul family?
Yep. Yeah. But there's, again, there's an overlap with your primary and companion.
Right. Right.
And for some people, you know, that's certainly you have been part of the same tribe in a past life. You have been part of the same coven. You know, you were witches together.
Us three?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I remember when we saw you, the first thing you said when we all walked in is, well, you this is not your first lifetime together. You've done this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A few times. Yeah. And, you know, I love the fact, and we do plan this, you know, when we come, that, you know, I'm going to see on the flip side. We're going to cross paths. And we find our soul family. We find our tribe, if you will. And, you know, you're all very different from one another, but you look at the connection that you have and likely can't even explain why. Mm-hmm. And it is very much on a soul level. It deals with the past lives, and it's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah, you know, there's so many different things. And, you know, Jenny, obviously, I've seen you several times over the years. And one of the things that has always stuck out for me, because it happened about 6 months after I saw you the first time, was you had told me you're going to speak in front of a large group of people and you're going to tell people about things, and you're never going to know the impact that you had with some of those people in that audience. And I have had several times where I've gotten to speak in front of large groups of people, including a week and a half ago, which over 100 people in the room at that one. So, you know, like, I know there's always going to be people out there that question, you know, I'm an analytical person. I like logic. I also speak in analogy or metaphor. So, you know, just as some people might be out there listening going, oh, they probably prepped this. They told her what to say mm-hmm. about themselves. No, when I first met you, you only had my name. And yeah. That was it.
Well, I'm glad they gave me the right information.
Good thing they weren't tricksters. Cheryl.
No, mine are tricksters, and they don't like giving Jenny all of the information that she... they'll give her parts.
Yeah, my guide can be a smart ass too, you know? mm-hmm. We banter back and forth.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, I want to go back to, you know, what that Diary of the Mouth. And mm-hmm. again, I'm not out there reading, just as the three of you will get a read on someone and on a situation. And there is an occasion where my guide will be like, tell them this. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell them that. They're going to think I'm a freak, you know? And he's like, yeah, you are. And I'm like, free choice. Because he always reminds me of free choice. You know? So what I do in those situations now is, a simple statement, I say, open the door. And what that means is open the door for an opportunity to share that. And probably one of the best examples of that, I was super tired. It was late. I was at Target getting cat food. And the cat food aisle, you know, and I'm like, I can't wait to get home. You know, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And I kept hearing that from my guy. Tell her it's going to be okay. And there was this older woman in the aisle. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I have these sidebars, even when I'm doing readings, like, want me to say it like that? You know, and where I'm like, nope. And then I just said, oh, fine, open the door. And I grabbed a can of Friskies. Clearly. And she goes, oh my God, don't get that cat food. That was opening the door.
Oh,
terrible. And so we were chatting about cat food for 20 minutes. And
as you do.
And so, you know, there was this feeling, this connection with her. I didn't feel tired anymore. So I knew what was right. It wasn't depleting my energy. I said, I know this is going to sound really odd, but I have to tell you, everything's going to be okay. And she got emotional and she said, I'm here buying cat food and supplies for my cat because I'm going in for surgery tomorrow.
Oh.
And she was just so grateful to hear that. So, you know, as you continue to evolve with your channeling, and that's certainly there for each of you in different ways, when you get those messages for other people, yeah, open the door. And sometimes it can be, gosh, I had a dream about you, you know, kind of thing. People are a little bit more open to that.
Yeah.
But I say open the door when they're giving me those nudges.
Yeah.
Love that.
You know, and that's the difficult part for those that are in that awakening process, because we can see things from a different perspective. And we want everybody to awaken and feel that love and that empowerment. And that's where my guide says, Jenny, they all have free choice. And everybody's going to wake up differently. And for some, to wake up too quickly, it's going to really throw them off. And you know what's interesting with this shift? And this is not a criticism towards the Catholic Church or any religious organization, you know, because there's a purpose. There is that collectiveness, music. I'll stop there. I don't like, but I don't agree. But when this shift first started, and going back to, sorry, I'm kind of digressing back to an earlier message, but when this shift first started, that's when not just the Catholic Church, but that was primarily the focus, where the abuse, the priests, you know, came out. And that was so devastating for those devout Catholics. You know, and you know, certainly some denial there, which it got to the point where, you know, like the priests were put in the newspaper with their names and some in prison, and so many victims coming forward that you really couldn't deny it. But that was devastating, and that's only one aspect of something coming to the surface. And so, you know, that's where, if you're feeling frustrated, like, why can't people see this? They may not be ready to.
Yeah.
And they have free choice. And we don't want anybody to take away our free choice. And they can't convince me that God is all loving and not judgmental, you know, any different than that. And so I hear that a lot from those that have awoken, like, God, why can't people see this? Well, when did you first start seeing that? Your perspective was very different, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Well, okay, for us older people. and so it's respecting where they're at and know that, you know, for the three of you and many that are listening, they wouldn't be listening if they're not old souls, if they're not light workers, I would say that people will come to you, and Spirit does an amazing job of getting someone to a light worker, to someone that can guide them, that can give them information or listen to them. And when we minimize that listening, that helps people release. But because your healer is that Spirit, you emit this beautiful healing energy. So sometimes it's just, and I don't mean just in a minimal way, to be in that healing energy. And the metaphor that I often use is it's that light at night where the moths gravitate towards it. And I have said this before I even like knew I was channeling. I'm like, you know, I would say to my friend, like, God, do I have a sign on my back that says free advice? Why don't people tell me everything? but that is you as light workers. And, you know, the fact that you channel that healing energy, even if you're not consciously aware of it, it emits from your spirit because your healer is that spirit. You have that ability to put that intention where you want that to go and certainly give it to yourself. But the fact that you channel healing energy means that you also have that ability to channel messages and vice versa for somebody that's channeling messages. But you will have people gravitate towards you. And, you know, I'm sure you hear this, like, I just stumbled across your podcast. Well, those are beautiful synchronicities, coincidences, spiritual intervention. And you're there to empower. And what they do with it is up to them.
Yeah.
And certainly they should use discernment where they're at as well.
Sorry, I found a spider. Good. So that's why I keep looking up to make sure he hasn't dropped on me.
You're familiar with animal spirits?
If you tell me mine's a spider, Jenny, we're going to have a good long talk because I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
How much time do you have?
See, okay. Megan, they are your friends.
But so, they're so scary.
You're going to love this, though. You're going to love this, Megan.
Okay.
Different cultures.
Open the door.
Yeah. I think they already did. Different cultures have different beliefs. And I love the fact that we were talking about manifesting earlier because that ties to the spider. Some cultures believe that we have one power animal. I gravitate more towards the Native American culture, which their belief is that we have 9 lifetime animal spirits. And, you know, they have different positions like northeast, southwest, above, below. And I tell people not to get so worried about that. You know, one can be your shadow self. One can be your personality. Your lifetime animal spirits, what that means is you possess the energy, the characteristics of that animal spirit. Animal spirits will come in for a reason, season, or a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So if you're going through transition right now, I see a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how snakes will shed their skin. So that is not a lifetime one. That's a seasonal one. Because you're going through a transition and they shed, it's a natural process. So I don't see your world turned upside down, fortunately. The spider, I'm not a huge fan of spiders either, but they are all about manifesting. Spider is one of your animal spirits, even though it's an insect. Spiders, again, all about manifesting. You know how they weave their own web. They certainly create their own destiny. And it doesn't mean you're going to fall in love with them.
Thank God.
People often ask, like, does that mean I can't kill them? Okay, live in Minnesota here. Those spiders are not going to be nesting in my house in the winter. Like, I provide gratitude for them, make a wish, and out they go.
Yeah. I will say I have stopped killing them as much as I used to. I try to just leave them be. But if they're big, you gotta go. I'm sorry. But
I have seen so many different types of spiders in the last 3 weeks.
Gross.
Amy, I think I mentioned to you that I have just been
glad you didn't mention to me
at our last recording. But in the last 3-4 weeks, I mean, different types, different sizes in the house, outside the house, in other places. I'm just like, I am seeing spiders everywhere. I'm like, there's something going on why I'm seeing them all of a sudden a lot.
Make those wishes manifest away. You know, it's so weird that you say that because yesterday I was in my garage and I've never seen a spider like this before. And it was big. And I'm like,
did it have yellow on it? On the back?
No. It was like a grayish.
Oh, wolf spider.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Goodbye. Wolf.
Yeah. But, you know, I was like, after I went, I'm going to make my wishes.
Just make a wish on your spider, Megan.
Yeah.
He's got to stay up there.
Your first wish can be that you don't fall on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second wish.
I'm grateful you're not falling on my head.
Yes. Yeah.
Leave me alone. Oh, God, I just hate them so much. I hate them. Why do they need 8 eyes? They don't hunt.
Because they have... Yeah, they do. And their eyes are single eyes versus compound eyes like flies have. So they need more eyes to be able to see all around their directions.
No, they don't. They build webs. They're lazy. They build webs.
You know, numbers hold energy. 8, and they have 8 legs, eyes. 8s are all about manifesting. I love the number 8. We are in an 8 year right now. We'll reach 1-9 here. 8s are... You know, it's about balance of the physical and the spiritual. If you look at the number 8, you turn it sideways, it's the infinity symbol, which is absolutely the abundance. And it goes back to that message, like, there's no limit on those wishes you can make. I love that. I love the 8 energy, but that ties into the spider as well.
Okay.
I cannot stand mice and snakes, too. I would say those are my 2. I was working on some legal stuff and a contract, and here in my garage again, my garage door was open. This mouse just walked right up to me and looked at me, and
my God,
I typically would start bawling and scream. This is the past life stuff, phobias. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to go through the fine print of that contract. Because mice are that sign, like, pay attention to the fine print or if you're working on any documents or anything that you have to pay attention to the details. Okay. And so that was a reason. And so I still don't like them, but I was like, shoot, get out. So yeah.
Thanks. Got the message. You can go now.
Yeah. I didn't start bawling. And
good for you. Proud of you.
Yeah. I was proud of myself.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually just
I feel the spiders on me right now, just so everybody knows. Like, I just feel them on me.
They're not really there. I can see.
I know.
I took Wesley and my sister's two dogs for a run the other day up by my sister's house, which it was dirt roads. And all of a sudden, I'm like looking away and I look down. Big garter snake just went right across the road. I was like, oh, let's not run across that one, because he had his mouth up and, like, you know, would have. They're going to bite, but they're not going to, they're not venomous. No, they're not.
Right.
They're just sassy.
It was just like, hey, I'm here. Don't. And like, get off the road, little buddy. Come on.
Oh, you're way nicer than me. You know,
they're so cool.
Especially up north. Like, there were so many this year, which we have so much change going on and individuals doing. It's so funny because snake is, you know, in your totem for a season right now. Mm-hmm. But what I had heard is that they're much more aggressive. And I'm like, gosh, are they forcing us for change here? Yeah. They're not going to force us. But I think it's like, yeah, come on, let's move on it, you know? Yeah.
Well, it was so warm this year and they like the heat and all of that. So,
yeah, well, just keep a distance. One litter in front of me when I was walking across the field and I was just like, oh, that one I did cry and scream.
Well, that's all very interesting.
I know. We'll have to have you back so we can talk more about animal totems and numerology.
Stay away from the spiders. Like Ron Weasley says, why couldn't be follow the butterflies from Harry Potter?
Yes.
Had to be follow the spiders.
Aragog.
I love the butterfly animals. I love all of them. They're all good. You know, butterfly, frogs. They're all about transformation and miraculous is how I see them.
Okay. Very cool.
So meditate on that butterfly. See yourself emerging from a cocoon because you're all going through transformation, and spread your wings and fly. Spread that beauty. And you get to land on whatever flower you want.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to transform into an animal that eats spiders.
Humans do in their sleep.
Oh, that's God. A myth. Oh, okay, enough.
Did not help.
See, Jenny, it's not fun.
That did not help.
That was not
or
fun.
Or in coffee.
Archangel Raphael, clean out that closet in the mouth and don't wake me up.
Oh, my God.
Well, I have to say... What the three of you are doing is absolutely beautiful, and I feel blessed to joining you. And I keep doing what you're doing, and it's going to get bigger, and you're going to have so many opportunities.
Manifest
and individually
get those spiders.
Yeah,
which is a sentence I never thought I'd say.
I'll just take the eights. You can keep the spiders. I'll take the eight.
Yeah.
I will say, Jenny, we do talk about you a lot in the podcast.
Your ears are probably always ringing.
You're definitely one of the characters on our podcast. So it'll be fun for people to finally be able to see, put a face to your name.
And we can be like, she is real. We didn't just make her up.
That's right. Do you wanna tell people where they can get in touch with you if they want to do a reading or find out more about you? I know I'll put all your stuff in the show notes, but just coming from you in case people don't read the show notes, because a lot of times I don't.
So my website is triluminous.com, T-R-I-L-U-M-I-N-O-U-S, triluminous.com. Texting is probably easiest, or you can email. My number is 651-503-3705. Again, 651-503-3705, or email Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at triluminous.com.
Great.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Jenny, so much. And I know you said you're honored, but we're honored that you agreed to come on with us. We appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Well, I love your energy individually and collectively, and so many great things ahead. And, you know, this is a journey and you're going to write a story. And Amy, that's a message to you. But, you know, you write your story and embrace that beautiful goddess energy. Embrace your power. Again, it's not going to be of ego. It's of heart and soul. And you earned it lifetime after lifetime. And I do have to share one more past life before I leave, because you bring this up. You were in Atlantis, and yes, Atlantis was real.
Amy was?
All of you.
Oh.
You know, going to, like, a past life where the three of you were together. They keep going, tell them about Atlantis. Well, that didn't end well for us, but
no.
But it was such an amazing time and energy up until it ended.
Until it wasn't.
You are beyond old souls. You are ancient. And that ability to make magic happen is within each of you. And believe that. And embrace that.
I love that.
So many great messages.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, again, I feel blessed and honored, and enjoy the journey, ladies, and all those that are watching. That's important.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. Take care.
All right. You too.
Be safe with the spider, dear.
You know, I think so, but I just got to check. I got to make sure, Jenny. Yeah. I just got to make sure.
Validation.
That he didn't decide to jump on my face.
It's when we ask for proof. Proof means we don't believe it. Validation reinforces a belief we have. So go ahead and validate by checking.
I got to.
Yeah.
I got to. I can't not. I can't not. So.
Well, bye, beautiful soul sisters. You take care.
You too.
Thanks, Jenny.
We'll be in touch.
Bye.
Okay. That was really cool.
I just love her so much. Oh my God. I think AP's so cool. Frozen.
Oh, no.
That's the best look that AP's holding on. She looks kind of...
And she can't hear us either?
I don't know.
Amy, can you hear us?
Amy, can you hear us? Amy, can you hear me? Amy, are you there? Oh, she gone.
She gone.
Guess
well,
she
we'll see if she comes back.
I see.
Amy and then you.
We can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
But I did read your lips.
I have no idea what happened. All of a sudden, everybody just completely froze. I was like checking my internet and then it just shut down. And
did
I was
you
like,
hear
I,
us singing?
I heard nothing. I saw nothing. I heard nothing. I couldn't. And I was like, I'm looking on my internet on my phone. I didn't have any loss of connection, but it was showing us connected to the box. Now it's showing us connected to Wi-Fi.
Oh, so we were
there was a glitch of some sort.
Yeah, we were singing. Amy, can you hear
Yentl,
me?
I think it's from.
Yenta. Yenta.
No, I couldn't.
Yentl.
I feel like that's a cross between Yenta and lentil.
Isn't Yenta the name of the grandmother? And then Yentl is...
I don't know. Like, to be fair, I've never seen the movie.
Oh, I haven't either. I just know it's Barbara Streisand and she was Jewish. I mean, she is Jewish.
I saw the play when I was like eighth grade.
Oh, really? You know more than we do.
Yep. Clearly.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap it up. The only thing we need to do still is just say that next week we'll be releasing a sideshow episode that we haven't even recorded yet. So.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They are also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That one was the best one yet.